without proof of where the money comes from.
Really?
It's becoming more and more Big Brother all the time.
Do you think that there could have possibly been any more to the story than other what we were presented in the news?
Come back and say.
Hello?
About the terror?
Hello.
Yeah, well, like were there other entities involved, agencies or motivations other than what appeared to be on the surface?
Well, they don't report that. They just say that, I mean, the Pakistani government is not in control of their country, mm-hmm. you know. There's all kinds of these groups that are military groups that are functioning. And they can't, you know, the biggest crook in the world, Dawood, is holding up in a big palatial palace in Pakistan, and he's wanted in India for all kinds of crimes, you know, money laundering, terrorists, funding terrorists, extortion, murder, you know, everything, and they won't turn him over, you know. Mm.
Is he
it's a lawless land. That's what, you know, India's lawless too. It's like a cowboy mentality, you know.
Is this Dawood guy an Al Qaeda guy or just a billionaire?
No, he's just a billionaire, and he funds all these groups.
Is he a fundamentalist Muslim in some way?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a decentralized world.
That's horrible. Hey, Bob, you sound hollow.
Yeah, well, I'm not near the computer. Carol's still typing a patient. It's her computer. I got to wait a second here.
I hear the type.
Yeah, you hear? That's not me. That's Carol.
Has Carolyn ever said hello to Robert Carr?
Yeah.
I think so. Did she?
Yeah,
did
just
she?
Briefly. Just the other day.
Were you, Carol, were you there 40 years ago, Bob Carr's host with Dave Wurster? Do you remember that, Carol?
I think so.
Vaguely, you remember that? Yeah, she thinks she was there, too. the time
memory
you met
is
you
not so good.
You
memory's
funny.
Tricky. Memory's very tricky.
Yeah. What's really funny is that, you know, Bob Dobbs has a wife named Connie Dobbs, so she's Connie.
Yeah.
So there's all this talk. Right. So there's all this talk about Bob and Connie. What I love is that in 10 years, when people hear this interview, they'll hear us talk about Bob and Connie, and they'll think we're talking about me and Carolyn, okay?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, they will. The confusion will happen to neophytes who don't know the details. Yeah. So they'll say, well, who's this guy who's talking to Bob Carr about Bob and Connie? Isn't he Bob? Why are they talking about Bob and Connie in the third person? And then
that's
we have
what
to
they
say,
think, though. They think that will happen with Jay Krishnamurti and Yuji. It'll blend.
Ah, good point. Yeah, that could happen. So, Carolyn,
yep.
You died in 1995 of alcoholic desperation.
Bob drove me to drink.
Yeah, she just said Bob drove her to drink.
I'm all ready to go to Thailand next week. So.
Well, let's hope it remains sober there.
Yeah.
Okay, so am I clear now? What'd you say?
Thailand's like California. It's like, it's very, Bangkok is.
Yeah. Yes, in some of Buzz Costin's travel videos, he has a travel site, and he was talking with these young girls with massage feet and that on the beach, but it looked like a California beach.
And yeah.
That was in Bangkok. Or just outside Bangkok.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you have any thoughts about last night? Anything?
Well, I don't know if we covered everything that we were wanting to cover.
Right,
We were talking about these gurus, but we didn't really talk a lot about them, you know.
Well, looking at the list, you have here... I didn't know if you want to do all of them, but I can bring them up.
Maybe we could take them all and put them into one context, you know?
Well, that's what I'm going to bring up. I've got it.
Why gurus aren't necessary.
I've got a quote I'm going to read from McLuhan, which goes into this history, and it's pretty interesting. I have it up on my website. So I'm going to start off with that. I do have some particular personal questions, but I'll do that later. I don't want to do it right away. So normal?
It's interesting that Yuji never answered personal questions. Yeah.
They just never happened?
No, he wouldn't answer a personal question.
But in the documentary, there these various people have been making different ones. They find out stuff from other people, right, about his youth.
Well, oftentimes he would say something, you know, right, reveal something about his personal life.
So you'd have to wait for it. You couldn't prompt him. So you've got a lot of tapes. Is that tape the very first one you guys did where he's silhouette? Is that up on the webs on the web somewheres?
I think it is. Yeah, it's
okay.
I have the tape. Yeah, I have a CD of it. You know,
right. So is my voice normal now?
Yes.
Okay.
And mine's so, okay.
Yeah, you're very clear. And okay. Scott, you're there, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
okay,
so
let's start.
Yeah, I'm just going to clear my throat. Just one second, okay? Just a minute.
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
When something I didn't quite, I probably you guys went over it, and wasn't paying attention or something. But what was it that when UG what was the final separation between him and Jiddu Krishnamurti? Was it when Jiddu Krishnamurti died or almost died? And
No. it occurred in India. Yuji asked. They were having a lot of time spent together. Yuji calls it the 40 days and 40 nights. But anyway, they spent a lot of time together talking. And JK was very interested in Yuji. And Yuji asked him, he said, is there anything behind the abstractions you're throwing out at the public? And JK looked at him and said, you have no way of knowing.
Oh, that's kind of like the little slap in the face answer he got from Ramana Maharshi.
Yeah, you have no way of knowing. And Yuji said that ended his relationship to him, though, right then.
And that was long before the
before he went. Yeah, long before.
Would you say in the 40s? We went through this on the interview.
That was before he went to Chicago with his wife and his children.
Yeah, we worked out the date. That was the late 40s.
Yeah, 45, was it, something like that?
48, 49, in there.
He was attending his talks, and JK looked at and said to him, who is this guy? I want to talk to you, you know. And so JK and Yuji met for over a month. Every day, Yuji said, they would meet.
Privately?
That was in Adyar.
So Krishnamurti saw him in the audience in Singla Mountain and said, I'd like to talk to you. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like he knew this guy would be a contender or something intense.
A hot potato.
A hot potato, maybe a lover.
A hot one.
Yeah. Was he cute? Was he cute when he was young?
Yuji?
Yeah.
He was very handsome, very, very striking.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's like Krishnamurti in that sense.
Yeah, he was better looking than Krishnamurti.
Wow. No wonder Krishnamurti JK noticed him.
Yeah, he was very, very handsome.
Okay, Scott, can we start?
Yeah.
This is the 11th session.
But Scott, he said that put him on his two, on his own 2 feet.
Was it because he accepted the answer as true, or because he didn't like the answer and decided to turn elsewhere?
He saw that there wasn't any more he could get from him.
Yeah.
It was finished.
But
he had to be on his own. Oh. He had to be on his own. J.K. was always pushing people to be on them, to be on their own, not depend on him or any authority. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. When you are in this state, you have an authority, but the authority is its own authority. You know.
You have to rely on the internal wisdom of whatever
yourself.
Nature is or whatever.
Yes. You have to find out yourself. It's there.
Oh, what was that, Robert? What was that? It's there? There's something there? We got Robert. We get that on tape?
What?
I broke off with Bob Carr when he said, there's something there. He said there was something, we caught him. He actually said there was a state of being. He implied it.
That's all you're going to get, Bob Dobbs.
That's all I get. It's there.
One other thing.
I'm going to go on a Bob Carr rant. I'm going to start complaining about Bob Carr because he said it was there. He said he finally collapsed into hope and an illusion.
From your point of view, Bob, it's that is based on hope that fills the vacuum of, gives you hope. So,
hey, I was talking about you, man. Don't throw it back to me.
Yeah.
Don't throw it back to me. Just help me take out the garbage, okay?
Okay.
Bob, you start last week. Bob started to broach the subject with you. I'm hoping it'll come up tonight about any thoughts that you had about the Dalai Lama.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
You know, one of the things that struck me about UG when he had that experience, he decided to investigate what death is, and he allowed himself to apparently die. And I think that of the spiritual traditions I've studied, probably the closest thing maybe that could would be the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I was wondering if you had studied that.
No. The thing is that that Buddhism, you know, is a descriptive structure of ideas and disciplines and so forth. That, you know, that does affect the way you function. It can subdue certain aspects of the brain activity and create, open up, shall I say, other parts of the brain where one feels different kinds of experiences. So all that exists. It's there.
Right. But I'm referring specifically to the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the readings from the Bardos.
Yeah. I just forget it. Forget it if I were you.
Yeah, okay.
Forget that, Scott. Come on. We're getting
but you haven't studied it.
Bob Carr is UG Light. LITE. UG Light. He calmly, quietly says, Scott, forget it. Come on, Scott.
It's just you're not going to get it there. It's, you know, what you're looking for isn't there. So.
But I just wanted to know if you'd specifically had studied the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
I've read it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's okay. All. And it's a descriptive process. It's a mythological, you know, meditation on death. And it's an interpretation of what happens and so forth. But
it's meant to be read to someone. The idea is that upon physical death, there's a moment of entering into the clear light of the void, which would probably be the state that UG entered into when he died.
UG says that when you die, you will be enlightened.
Right, and that's what the Tibetan Book of the Dead says. It's just, it says most people, when they die, at the moment of separation from the body, they enter the clear light of the void, but most people are not conscious. Most people go into a faint, and then by the time they start waking up again, they're already spiraling back down into rebirth. They missed the opportunity. So the whole point of the Tibetan Book of the Dead is that you read to the as the person's dying, you remind them, hey, you're in the clear light, stay awake.
Yeah. Who are they talking to?
Yeah.
There's no independent existence. Yeah. You know? There's no me, no I, no you.
Right.
All that's a fabrication.
Yeah.
It's a ghost in the machinery. Okay.
Okie doke.
So this is the 11th show. The 11th. It is December 29th, right? Okay, so I have a general question, a different topic I'm going to bring up to approach this, and then we'll get into the Dalai Lama and the various other gurus later.
Let's go.
Okay, Scott?
Yeah. Okay, so you ready?
Yep.